station if you're interested in joining our collective to bring world issues to the airwaves. Worldview can be heard every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. on WORT 89.9 FM.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Overture Center for the Arts, presenting the Broadway show The Kite Runner, Friday, May 24th through Sunday, May 26th, in Overture's Capitol Theater. Beginning at a kite-flying tournament in Kabul, The Kite Runner spans two decades and two continents, revealing a journey of forgiveness and shows us all that we can be good again. More information and tickets are available at Overture.com.
In Arabic, we occasionally say من خلف ما مات, often quickly followed by الله يجعلك خليفته.
Translation: whoever gives birth does not die. May God make you the successor.
Typically, something you say to the family, particularly the children of somebody who just passed away. Giving condolences, you remind someone, whether it's the wife of or the children of the deceased or the husband of, that those who make the next generation will live through them. So this is, in essence, saying, luckily you were born before he or she went. Something you say at a funeral.
Right. Is that?
I was at a funeral today, and we say that here, say condolences.
Right.
On your loss. Right. We're sorry about your loss. That's just so straightforward and just too not enough. But if you see the son of somebody who passed away, you remind them that it's them that carry the torch that is now out by their parent being gone. I know it's a small statement, but then the follow up is Allah yaj'alak khalifto, may God make you the khalifa, is he who inherits the whatever traits the father had. So if he's a good guy, then may Allah make you the carrier of that torch. You only say that for those who those who lose parents that are a good reputation.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, not some shady character, because you don't want to inherit that trait.
I hope you wind up just like them.
Yeah, or carry just like them, but eventually we're all going to wind up dead. But yeah, that's not. That's not the story here. But anyway, the Arabic language is so specific when it comes to certain things.
True.
And at the same time, you could be spending 15 minutes explaining something that could be done in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I can see
that. And
it's
all these proverbs.
I will say the proverbs in general, right? They are...
for that purpose...
not always, compact or pithy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's one of the things that makes it such a beautiful language.
Yeah, and in my case, because I grew up hearing these things, Whenever an event happens, I happen to have a proverb. I may not share it with the listener, with the person in front of me, but it comes up in my head.
Right.
And it's, you know, I thank my parents for that, particularly Mom. I think she has a proverb for everything we do and say.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah. Can I'm you sure imagine going through life and it's just you checking the weather, looking at, open the door to leave the house and you realize you need an umbrella. It's raining like cats and dogs.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine saying that every time you see rain?
No.
Or every time an event happens, there is some kind of a proverbial explanation to what you just saw.
Right. Me personally, when I see rain, I don't try to qualify it when I see rain. I just turn around and go back inside.
Yeah. So it was raining and Mom would say, kabam narab. Put on an umbrella. Take an umbrella. Put on a coat. Or, you know, kabam narab means the deluge from Allah. So the deluge, like, we're waiting for Noah's Ark to be built. She makes it. Or namim in a sama, a blessing from the sky. Just say it's raining out. You don't have to give me the minutiae, the details of how you feel. But anyway, what's going on here?
Do you ever say it's a blessing from the sky, tongue in cheek? Like,
no, the like show, the rain?
Yeah.
Hiba minas sama.
Right. But, I mean, the whole idea of blessing from the sky, right? I mean, you could use that sarcastically, right?
Especially
if it's a torrential downpour with flash flooding and all that kind of stuff.
And you have to be somewhere and getting drenched.
Right.
Or you just walked in from the outdoors and you're soaked wet to your socks.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, issues, culture, art, music, and whatever other shenanigans we get up to in the next, not quite half an hour now, because we've talked a bunch of it away. So thank you so much for joining us.
That was Rowan Atallah, translator extraordinaire. I am Sabi Atiyah. We support WRT. We bring you this show here in order to be part of the community, the greater mosaic that makes Madison, Wisconsin what it is. And hopefully we have listeners from around the world who pay attention to what we say in on this seventh day of April, 2024, in the year of the Lord, also known as the 28th day of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra in the Islamic calendar. Tomorrow could be the last day of Ramadan, then the Eid al-Fitr for our Muslim listeners would be on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
If the month happens to go full throttle to the 30th day of the month, based on the sighting of some moon, the one and only moon we have, then it would be, the last day would be Tuesday, hence Wednesday being the Eid.
Now, do we anticipate that there will be disagreement over which day this is? I know we've talked about this in the past.
Yeah. I think the prevailing winds here in the U.S., just disregarding politics, because someone in Libya declared tomorrow the Eid. So the month to them is 28 days. And I'm reading headlines. Well, the Libyans decided to celebrate, 28 days? Just 28. That's a short month. Hmm. But in essence, it's Tuesday or Wednesday. And I can't declare right now because I don't have evidence on my hands to declare it here or there. But the days are getting longer, and the month itself, as the month of Ramadan is running down or up almost the 20th of Fajr this morning was 5:07 a.m. That's the last time you could eat or drink.
So long-time listeners will have picked up on this little data point, right? But my father grew up in the Christian Arab quarter in Jerusalem. So I've actually never been to an iftar until this Ramadan.
This Ramadan? Mm-hmm. How? Who dragged you in there?
I was invited.
Okay.
No, nobody had to drag me. I mean, well, there might have been a little bit of browbeating involved, but no actual dragging happened. But there was an iftar at, I think it was Lakeview Park.
Okay.
In Middleton.
Yes. Yep.
And it was almost all Palestinian families.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the Maghrib today, the sunset today is at 7:32, and that's when iftar or breaking of the fast will take place. The typical holiday for as far as details of what happens in the Eid al-Fitr, the blessed event of the Fitr, is typically the community gets together in a large place to assemble and hang out and do morning prayers early in the day. And then kids get Eid money, and we used to just blow them on all kinds of frivolous things. And by the way, I grew up in Damascus. When we first moved to Damascus, we lived in an area called Qassa. There's a good mix of Muslims and Christians, and most of the Christians there were Greek Orthodox. Mm-hmm. They celebrated Sha'anine, they celebrated Easter, they celebrated Christmas, etc. We colored eggs. We enjoyed that. We've seen a nativity set at a very young age, and I've always envied their holidays. Are always more, how do you say, fun. We enjoyed the Muslim holidays, but the nativity set was a cool thing to look at, and we've seen them build it, and then the Christmas tree and the lighting of stuff, and we didn't have a Christmas tree, but but we often had Christian neighbors who were on the same flat that we were. Join us for more than once during the month of Ramadan for breakfast. And some of them, out of respect during that month, would refrain from eating in public.
Sure.
And many of the restaurants didn't even open in the morning. They sell to-go stuff so you can take it home and prepare or eat it later. But there was more camaraderie back in what I felt in Damascus as far as the friction. There wasn't friction, but the points of contact between the religions. Right. And when they do their holidays, we would go out on the street and they would light up a bonfire. I don't remember what this holiday with the fire. There was one with a fire called Eid al-Sha'anine. I don't recall what
that
the fire was.
That wasn't Easter?
It may have been. There are a couple of churches that you could definitely feel the festivities, and we would partake, especially if there's candy involved.
So how do you translate Sha'anine?
Sha'anine is the big bonfire.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. It does not narrow it down.
I have to find out what the exact, what that holiday was in particular, but there was a burning of something, and I don't know there are several holidays that I don't see celebrated here in the U.S. as much. I think the focal point, what I see has become here in the U.S., even from the first day I arrived here, is that the Christmas starts the day after Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And at the time, I worked in the mall, and that was the fluster cluck from hell. Everybody walks to the East Town or West Town Mall, and East Town would become a zoo. What I saw there is that people just going out buying gifts for each other. So that was
right.
What it had boiled down to, as far as I could see, like, whoa, what's this? What are these mad people doing? Because, it should be a small part of a greater holiday, not spend almost an entire month buying gifts with money you don't have to be in debt to impress people in most cases you don't like. But that was, to me, the American way. Everybody loved doing that.
I think it also, some of that, of course, depends on, whether somebody is actually religious and observant versus just following a cultural tradition. Yeah. So, I grew up in the Presbyterian church, and it always seemed as a kid like Christmas was sort of, the most important holiday, of course, from a kid's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. But Easter, in the Catholic Church, they actually say that Easter is the holiest night, right? Mm-hmm. And the Mass, they usually light a bonfire prior to the Easter Mass.
Mm-hmm. Well, community calendar, we covered a couple of things already in the previous session. Do you want to talk about the upcoming annual conference real quick, the environment and climate change in the Middle East? I think this is happening here on campus, one of the few events when we have something that we can go to in this.
Well, if you have the information in front of you, I think
Yes, I do. April 12th, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. It's a full day. at the Old Madison Room in the Wisconsin Union Memorial Inn in a beautiful room, 3312. It's free and open to the public. We recommend registering so they can be ready for you with the coffee breaks and such, so we have enough food for on hand for the attendees. But this is an opportunity to hear academic experts across a variety of fields present new and cutting-edge work on this very important issue. We often get busy covering Middle East wars and displacement and refugees and regimes and regime change. But this is a... the conference starts with a panel that discusses environment and activism. And it's moderated by Samir Al-Atout, a friend here, the family of the show from UW-Madison. It's a who's who from different campuses throughout the U.S. and the world, as far as Turkey, showing up here with ideas. All scientists, all they have something, they'll have something that they've worked on for a couple of weeks to present at this conference. I think the Middle East has been the crossroad of civilizations for a long time, and that's for a good reason. And this is bringing it forward to the topics, modern topics, progressive environment and climate change, well, and how is that affecting the rest of the world.
I think the Middle East is one of the areas that is going to be of greatest concern. I mean, it's already not necessarily the most hospitable climate, right? But if you actually look at the modeling out a few decades, the whole Mediterranean basin is going to be in very difficult shape if, you know, we don't have some more concrete steps.
It may be late. And also this month, April, is Arab American Heritage Month. There has been Lina Hourani has been named as the Arab American Heritage Month Game Changer honoree. We're proud to report that she's in Detroit, and Hourani remembers how difficult it was when she came here as a child, kindergarten age, that's very young, she immigrated to the U.S. with her parents, and she recalled watching her parents struggle to learn English language and become, you know, navigate this new country and, with limited knowledge and financial ability. And so in 2000, Hourani had joined the Arab Community Center for Economic and Social Service, ACCESS, and began working her way up to the organization. She says that she can still remember those feelings as an Arab American having to deal with that recognition and not being able to officially acknowledge or say that I am an Arab American. I'm a Middle Eastern descent North American, because there was no distinction for it. And now Michigan might be, this is breaking news, Michigan, the state, might be on the verge of declaring that they, regardless of what the National Census Bureau says, Michiganders are going to lose their minds. Lawmakers are considering just the state level. They're not going to force it on the rest of the nation, but this means basically that Michigan is one of the nation's largest concentration of Arab Americans, people by choice. They're not forced concentrated there, so it's not like a concentration camp. They just happen to attract each other there. But this concentration of Arab American people with the origin of the Middle East and North Africa, but most of them were, as we were, we've talked about this before, almost for the last 10, 15 years, we say there's no place for us to mark on that census, where I have to admit that I'm, or I have to claim, I have to pretend to be white, non-Hispanic, because that's the only classification that recognizes this. I'm looking forward to a day where we just say human without all this hoopla. But until then.
I look forward to that day as well. I think we're a ways off, I have to say.
Yeah, so there are two bills that were proposed in the state of Michigan, and they would designate us peoples, you and I, as MENAs when collecting demographic areas. Why is it important for Michigan? Merely for the political clout that this group already has. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how when Mr. Biden loses the Arab vote, he will not be able to carry Michigan.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the scary part. So the Democratic State Representative Al-Abbas Farahat, who co-sponsored this bill, told the News Hour that the intent of this bill is, or sponsoring of this, is to make sure that Arab and MENA American communities are accounted for. Quote, when they're not being counted, data can make a person and an entire community feel totally invisible, according to him. So there might be another state working on this, and I bet you anything it's New Jersey. Not California?
Not California?
I
That's a little bit of a surprise.
I rumor bits and pieces of rumors, but none confirmed. Any other events, calendar?
Yeah, well, so there was, you know, obviously the Rachel Corrie event that we discussed briefly during World View. Rachel Corrie event is next Sunday, April 14th. From 1:30 to 3:30 at Christ Presbyterian Church here in Madison, sort of Near East Side. April 27th, this is up in Viroqua. There's a music benefit that is going to be held at the Landmark Center in Viroqua. That is running from 6 until 10 p.m. It's a couple hours drive. And there will be, as you know, a lot of the events in the Madison area, Palestine Partners will be there with Kraft, I believe, olive oil and soap as well. So people can come out and shop for items that will also be directly benefiting Palestinians. May 1st from 5 to 8 p.m. at Giant Jones Brewery on, again, Near East Side of Madison, the May Day Pizza Night and Music. This is going to be a benefit specifically for the Middle East Children's Alliance. And the performers will be Bergernutzen, which is a bass and drum duo, Blasphem, which is acoustic punk, and Camilla Wydad, who is acoustic Americana.
Nice.
And lastly, May 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Burr Oak over on the east side, a Hard Rock benefit, again for Gaza, again for Middle East Children's Alliance. And the band lineup there is The Takeaways, 20-Minute Mission, and The Moon Boot. So I encourage everybody to come out, enjoy the music, and enjoy a few beverages and make donations to the Middle East Children's Alliance.
Fantastic. And the ones that are closer to us in town, mm-hmm. nearby, in Arabic we say, Ramyat Hajar, which means a stone's throw away. Like, you know, relatively.
Just like in English.
Well, Ramyat Hajar, exact.
Right.
Yeah. Exact translation.
Yes.
And then we say, Farket Ka'b. If something's very, very close, just around the bend, it's mm-hmm. we call it a twist of a heel. So you're not even walking, you're just pivoting your heel to find
it's like
something.
Like right over, just look over your shoulder. It's
there
right
you
there.
Go.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of Gaza, there's a book that came under my radar, A Long Walk to Gaza by Azma Al-Ataouni, which is translated to English by Kaylin Nasrallah and Michael Hartman. An extraordinary new debut novel is forthcoming this spring. The life in Gaza is often considered very violent, which has taken an immense proportions for the whole world to see. Now you can see it. Visible, but it didn't start on October 7th.
No, of course not.
It's been going way longer than that. So this is an intimately rendered human story of resistance and resilience. This long walk from Gaza is a tale of freedom, a rich telling of Palestinian women's struggle under the dual hardship of being a woman living under patriarchy and Israeli occupation at the same time. So Al-Ataouni's prose brings Gaza to life in this book. As soon as we get a copy of it, we'll share more.
Sounds good. Or if people want to order a copy for themselves.
A Long Walk to Gaza.
Yep. Room of One's Own and Kismet are two local bookstores that I would like to applaud for having a section right inside their front doors of books.
Poetry and beyond.
On Gaza and Palestine. Some of them are literary works. Some of them are children's books. Some of them are a little more, historical narratives. Mm. But, you know, if you're looking for more resources to learn about the history of Palestine, I'd recommend that you visit either one of those.
And they're not on the beaten path. They're off the beaten path. As we say in English.
Yes.
How about, what do people want to know about their Arab American neighbors? What everyone needs to know about their Arab American neighbors?
This is like a, what, cautionary tale?
No, also another one. David, this is April 12th, 2024. Meet artist David Najib Qasir. He's a Syrian American in Milwaukee. He's a Milwaukee artiste who has a personal narratives of life and culture. There's an event. I'm going to link that to our website because we have like 5 minutes. I wanted to quickly talk about some of these images that we see when we're driving on the highways. You see a sign telling you men at work. You see a sign, what are those called, pictographs?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, some of these symbols were created by a Palestinian-American born here in America, a Christian family who was born in 1930, Roger Cook. His name was, their Arabic name was something completely different, but we're going to talk about him as Roger Cook because people may recognize the name as a graphic designer. An artiste. He's also recognized as a peace activist for some of his photography and sculpture work that he has done depicting life in Palestine. But he was born in New Jersey, 1930, and like I said, a Palestinian Christian family. He was the president of Cook and Chansky Associates, a graphic design firm that was founded in 1967. And the firm produced all forms of corporate communication images, including corporate identity, advertising, signage, annual reports, and brochures, etc. But his graphic design and photography has been used by IBM, Container Corporation of America, Montgomery Ward, Bristol-Myers. All kinds of big names have used his work, and it's hardly ever recognized as a Palestinian-American because of the change of name and being a member of a community that moved here earlier before we were recognized as them foreigners coming over here. He passed away in 2012, but in 2003, Symbols signs a project designed by his firm for the U.S. Department of Transportation was accepted by the Acquisitions Committee to the collections of Cooper Hewitt, National Design Museum, and the Smithsonian Institute. I'm having issues speaking. I have things in my face.
And here you are on the radio.
That's right. I should do something about my career as a radio personality.
We are just about out of time. You have been listening to another episode of Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues. Community calendar.
We did that.
And art, music, and whatever else we have a chance to talk about. Stay tuned for the Pachyderm Parade coming up next here on WORT 89.9 FM. I'm going to leave you with our musical interlude. This is by Egyptian-Palestinian rapper Mabane, Lebanese rapper Sabine Salameh, and a Palestinian producer whose name I actually cannot pronounce at all. This track is called Nahas. This is part of a recently released three-track EP by Mabane, which delves into critiques of Western colonialism, and the lyrics also shed light on Arab political landscape, emphasizing the importance of Arab unity in resisting colonial powers, particularly against the ongoing genocide in Gaza being committed by Israel. So let's give this a spin, and stay tuned for Pachyderm Parade.
هل تستمتع من أصواتي أم تستنفع من أوصاتي؟ لو تستمع كلام براتي وانت مش شاري يا محوراتي. هل المحتوى ما بقاش مهم والمستوى ما بقاش يلم؟ غير أشكال دوا في الأصل سم. هنقدم هوا والناس تجن والناس تجن وتزيد عينين. نساء العرب جم من يومين بدل منصة منصتين. بدل فرحة واحدة دي فرحتين. تسقيف إيدين تبنتين قالوا كلمتين. فنزلت دموع من حرف غين بقى حرف عين. ابنه لنا المسرح مستقل هناك في الدرة وتحت الدل. هل دفن أم نحتيش اللي مش بتحل لما تحل بعد احتفال طول ساعتين؟ بقوم واشكر كل الحاضرين. رسالة خاصة للداعمين عايزين منصة للطرفين. يا طرفين الصوت العربي المتين ايد لحالها ما تسقفش على حدود المحتلين.
Jack Brigade on a Pachyderm Parade, but we'd rather stroll to a water hole. For a furlough in the shade.
Hello and